Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, October 20th, 2017. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hey, man, I'm good. It's good to be here.
It's really great to have you here.
And thanks.
Jeff Butts, how are you?
It's Friday. What can I say?
Apparently, you can say it's Friday. So well done, sir. Well done. Yeah. So I have a feeling I'm going to be able to get the two of you to rant on at least one thing today. So I'm going to jump right into it because I've got my popcorn ready. And okay. We're going to start with Animoji. And
oh, God.
See, this is why I've got my popcorn.
Isn't that that Steven Spielberg cartoon?
No. It's that stupid movie that I posted on Instagram about that I wondered why we had to have it.
And apparently you're both right. No, wait, what's the other thing?
That's we're both wrong.
Oh, that's it. Okay.
So animated emoji on the iPhone 10.
I like it for what that's worth. I haven't used it.
Well, that's because you don't have an iPhone 10.
Correct. But I'm looking forward to using it once I actually get it.
Well, I'm going to take us down a rabbit hole before we even get into the topic. The one emoji that they're missing from that I really want is a smiley face. I just want the yellow face, and I want to be able to animate that with Animoji.
Seems pretty reasonable.
Isn't that what selfies are for? Just take a picture of smiling?
But see, selfie's not always the right thing. This is just another way to express yourself, man. Don't be all curmudgeonly on me.
I'm sure my 15-year-old will love it.
Yeah, well, this 51-year-old will too. So you know, we get a 15. We get the palindrome, Jeff Gamet.
I see that.
Of yes. Numbers.
Yeah. Yes, we do
see that.
Except for the fact I see exactly what you did, Brian.
there's no such thing there.
Exact same maturity level, palindrome of numbers.
Yes, exactly. Now, I have found emoji to be extraordinarily useful, and not just from the standpoint of there's economy of communication for sure, but then there's also the ability to add clarity to what you're saying to reduce, minimize, and sometimes even eliminate the opportunity for misunderstanding that comes from using text.
Absolutely true.
And Animoji is just going to be another cool way to do that.
Yep, giddy up. I agree. And it's also a lawsuit.
Oh. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Didn't see that
coming. Of course it is.
So here's the deal. You know, Apple, they announced Animoji as an iPhone 10 feature in September when they introduced the new phone, which goes on sale... Holy crap. In 7 days, that's when pre-orders start. Is that right? Wow.
This Saturday? Tomorrow?
No, 7 days.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You scared me there for a second.
That's all right. I'm glad you were sitting down. Anyhow, so the story leading up to, hey, lawsuit train, is that there's a developer. It was a pair of developers right now. I think it's just one guy that had a company called eMonster. And so they developed an app called.
Wait. I'm
stop.
Not
being, just stop.
No, I'm not being a jerk. Is it. How do you spell that? I'm not being a jerk. I want the clarity.
E-M-O-N-S-T-E-R. Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
So it's eMonster.
I'm just going to keep going.
This is like the one time I was not being a jerk about your quaint pronunciations, Jeff Gamet.
And that's what threw me off. Go ahead. Anyhow, to carry on. So this company, they launched an app called Animoji on Apple's App Store in 2014, like July 2014. And what the app does is it lets you take multiple emoji, string them together into an animation, and then share them as part of a text message.
So it lets different, you, completely different concept, just same name.
Yeah. And
was it pronounced animoji or animudgy?
Animoji.
Okay, just checking.
No, I see what you're doing there. Why did I invite you guys on the show again?
No idea, man. It seems like a mistake right off the bat.
Oh, man. Well, you'd think I'd learn, and yet here we are.
Here we are.
So this guy that owns the company, whose name apparently I can no longer say on the show, he says that Apple had their own front companies approach him ahead of the iPhone X launch and try and buy the Animoji trademark off of him. And he wouldn't sell. And then the day before the iPhone X announcement happened, Apple filed to have the trademark for the Animoji name revoked or canceled. And they cited reasons, about the company wasn't actually in the United States or wasn't formed when the trademark was filed, stuff like that. So, yeah. So then this guy, he has now filed a lawsuit. Oh, and by the way, he's in Japan now. He's from the United States. He lives in Japan now. And the company is a Japanese company, but he says there's also an American version of his company as well. And so he has a company name registered in both countries. And he says that Apple, when they couldn't get their front companies to strike a deal with him, they chose just to use the Animoji name anyhow. And so now he's about a lawsuit.
Apple does this all the time.
Yeah, like
all the time they step on people and they leave it to the lawyers to sort out later, which usually means the other people are not going to get all that much. This is one of the things I do not like about Apple. I don't like the fact that Apple steps, especially when it's the little guy out there, and they do this with names. But they've done it to big guys too. They did it to Cisco with iTools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it Cisco? Wasn't it Cisco? Who owned iTools? No, Cisco was
Was Cisco iPhone?
iPhone. Yeah, Cisco was iPhone, and then there was a long time Mac server tools company that like kept Apple in the server business essentially for years and years and years while Apple was not paying any attention to that stuff, and they had a product called iTools. There are many examples of Apple doing this. It's one of the things I don't like about the company. And it sucks to be this guy.
It does suck to be this guy. I think he's got a really hard battle ahead of him, because he's a guy and he hasn't established definitively that these front companies actually were fronts for Apple. I mean, come on, we know that's what happened. But
well, that's something that Apple does. They use other companies to try to buy up trademarks or patents or whatever, so that the person they're dealing with doesn't realize that it's Apple and it's enormous cash hoard that's doing the negotiating.
Right. Yeah. So we all know this is what happens, but everyone grasping the common knowledge is not the same thing as being able to show that in court. So that's going to end up being probably a problem for him. But the bigger problem, I think, is that his pockets aren't bottomless like Apple's.
Yeah.
Well, he probably has a pretty good claim to the trademark. But the issue is to your point, Jeff, the issue is whether or not Apple can just outspend him.
And the answer is, of course they can, because Apple makes all the money, as you have pointed out.
Yeah.
Unless, but I mean, there's a limit to, I mean, it's possible that he could actually, you know, go toe to toe with the company and a court would rule like, well, yeah, this is your trademark, Apple, you can't do this. And then Apple would have to maybe give the guy enough money that would make him want to sell, which is what Apple should have done in the first place.
Right. Well, and, you know, if how willing is this guy to go through the appeals process if even if it's found in his favor? If it's found in his favor, Apple's going to appeal.
Well, he may end up finding an attorney that'll take the case on contingency because, you know, deep pockets.
Yeah. He does have an attorney. I don't know what his attorney is getting paid. He's asking for the usual court costs as part of the case. But
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's, yeah, he may have found an attorney that's like, yeah, but we'll just do this and we'll do a contingency thing. And then I'll rake up my money when we win big.
Right.
Yeah,
which ain't gonna happen.
So
it could.
It could.
But
based on what I know right now, I wish him well. I wish him luck.
Yeah,
I mean, I do too. But if he's not, you know, he says that he's established in the United States, but the proof is in the pudding. You know, show me articles of incorporation or show me an LLC registered in the United States.
Yeah. Well, and see, this is going to be part of his problem. And his attorney realized this and has tried to amend the trademark filing so that it reads in his favor. And the courts have said, yeah, no, we can't do that because this cancellation request that Apple has filed is in motion right now. So there's nothing mm-hmm. else you can do to try and amend your trademark until after this cancellation case has gone through its course.
Right.
So it's I don't think this guy is trying to scam anyone. At least it doesn't appear that way to me right now. I think that he just didn't get his paperwork filed correctly, and now it's going to bite him in the butt. And Apple has big pockets, so there you go. All right.
And it's unfortunate, but it's a fact of life.
Yep, there you go. So I don't expect to see the Animoji name go away. Unlike Rendezvous, which is now Bonjour.
That is true. That was another example where Apple just, you know, did it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
that's way before my time, I guess.
Yeah, that one was weird. And an Apple when they changed the name, they're just like, oh yeah, it's Bonjour. Like they tried to retcon us into thinking Rendezvous never happened.
Of course.
Yeah. Right.
So my guess is the Animoji name is going to stay and money will change hands between lawyers and Apple will have exactly what it wants. And there you go. So, Brian, you wrote a tip yesterday that
I did.
Yes. And I thought it was really interesting because it was all about how to share the notes that you've made in iBooks, like from your iPhone or iPad, back to iBooks on your Mac. So that,
well,
that
would be fair. It was also to make sure everybody knew how clever I was in figuring out who Jon Snow was before the TV show showed us.
Yeah, I totally caught on to that. And actually, in some way, it felt like the tip was just a side plot to the real story, which is figuring out Jon Snow.
Exactly. I still don't know who Jon Snow is.
Spoilers.
Okay.
I'll tell you off to you.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll
tell you off to you.
It's Game of Thrones stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's all right.
I don't need to know. So here's the deal. You can take notes in iBooks.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Which I love doing. I note in the piece that I will not mark up a real book. If I have a physical book, I'm going to try to keep it in as good a condition as I possibly can.
Because you're not an animal.
Because I'm not an animal.
Excuse me.
Well, you're an animal, Jeff.
So are you.
No, all right. I know it's books. Anyway, so I won't take a highlighter to a book, to a physical book, but I will take a highlighter to an ebook. Especially if I'm doing any kind of research, which Game of Thrones would be.
That's definitely research.
Yeah, there was a lot of, every time I'd reread it, I'd go through and I'd mark up stuff that pertained to stuff I was trying to figure out.
Do you have a hard time cleaning off your screen afterwards? From highlights?
From the highlighter?
So, but then other times too, like if I'm editing fiction, I'll do the same thing. If I'm going to read through another writer's book, for editing notes, I'm going to read it in iBooks so that I actually get the book experience while I'm doing it. And so anyway, I love taking notes in iBooks is my point. And sometimes you need to send those notes to another person, or you even just need to get them yourself. So that you can do something else with them. And to do it, it's kind of weird because you have to go to your notes tab, and I explain how to get there in the tip, but then you have to share the notes. You have to tap edit notes. No, you have to go to the share icon. Then you have to go to edit notes. Then you have to select all, and then you can share.
So it's a stupid, convoluted process.
It is a completely unintuitive, unobvious, and inarticulate way of doing it. Makes no sense whatsoever. It's sloppy. It's sloppy. It's sloppy GUI design, which is not something we expect from Apple.
Okay, right. You just keyed in on something that's really bothering me, which is sloppy UI design. I've noticed when I'm comparing features or settings on my Mac to my iPhone or iPad, the wording will be the same sometimes, but not always. And capitalization changes between operating systems. And there'll be other little things, like sometimes the word "and" will be an ampersand in one place and not somewhere else. You'll see hyphens used sometimes and not other times. And it just feels like people aren't paying attention to the details. And it's really bugging me.
How about the existence of both force touch and 3D touch at the same time? And yet it's not consistent across all iPhones or iPads or any iPads.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a slightly different aspect, but it's another symptom of just sloppiness, lack of attention to detail because Jeff Gamet, excuse me, what's your name? Jeff Butts. And
my name is Jose Jimenez.
And we talked about it on an ACM this week while you were out, Jeff Gamet. Mm-hmm. And then John Keat and I took it a little bit further in Pop 0.0. But really what it comes down to is Steve Jobs had this right mix. This is basically how John Keat, this is how we got to the end of this conversation, is that Steve Jobs had the right mix of OCD and vision and an intuition to be able to catch these little tiny things that it doesn't seem like anybody else is either can catch or is empowered to catch. Although someone else, somebody posted a blog post noting all the inconsistencies, even within iOS 11, with like the way things are lined up and the way things are, the font spacing and all kinds of line spacing. Mm-hmm. So apparently there are people who were capable of catching this stuff. They're either not working at Apple or not empowered at Apple.
Right.
And it would be, this is probably just a consequence of the fact that there's, you know, Steve Jobs was one in, you know, 100 million people.
Yeah. Still, it really bugs me.
Yeah, it does. It's
frustrating. And I can't imagine Steve Jobs was the only person that was catching these inconsistencies. So where are those people now?
Either unempowered or not working on the right things.
Yeah.
Which really sucks, because the attention to detail is one of the things that really sets Apple apart.
It really is. And Johnny Ive has, you know, who was put in charge of software interface design a few years ago, right? He's been focusing on Apple part for the last several years.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that might be a lot of it, because Johnny Ive certainly has the obsessive attention to detail that he shared that with Steve Jobs. But he hasn't. Yeah, he's been focusing on Apple Park. He's been focusing. And I don't mean this negatively. I'm glad that I love how Apple is spending so much time with Apple Park. Do you remember Tim Cook saying the wires that are, like, you know, in the walls that no one can see, they're all perfect and beautiful and glorious because that's what you got to do? Yeah. Do you remember him saying that?
I do remember him saying that. And then about I look Apple at Park? My iPhone interface.
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're spending this time focusing on getting everything right with Apple Park, which is great, but they're not putting the same time and attention into our devices and software.
It's very frustrating.
But hopefully now that Apple Park is winding, as construction on Apple Park is winding down, hopefully maybe some of this attention to detail will be refocused back into to our hardware and software products.
You know, changing or editing these interface details that are problems for us, like getting line spacing fixed, getting icons aligned properly, fixing capitalization. That seems to me like the sort of thing that you don't need to wait all the way till iOS 12 to fix.
No, this should be like in the next update.
Yeah, so yeah. Why not give it to us in iOS 11.2?
Or 11.1.1.
Or 11.1.1. Sure. I'd be happy to go with that.
I'm happy being demandy on this.
I'm okay with you being demandy on this, because it's really frustrating. Yeah. So, all right. Well, then let's give it just a little bit of time and see if we get some interface editing in the next couple updates that come out for iOS. And if not, then maybe we need to get really ranty on the show about this.
All right. I like it.
Cool. All right. Well, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us. And I'd like to point out that I love iOS 11, and I love my Apple devices. Right. This is looking for excellence, not saying that Apple is crap because you know.
No, I totally get it. If this was any other company, I wouldn't even be talking about this at all. But I hold Apple to a higher standard, and I believe Apple holds itself to a higher standard.
Yeah. I just had an idea. You know, there's first world problems, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there's Apple fan problems.
Yeah.
I'd like to
point out, my interface isn't perfect. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll start a therapy group. Maybe we just did. and hopefully we'll see some fixes to this soon, lest we have to rant at Apple again. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show. Both of you guys rock. Listeners, thank you for being here. You rock as well, and I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. We will see you again on Monday.